Luke 3:21-22. We've been learning from the Gospel of Luke and pointing out Luke's trail of evidence that Jesus is Messiah. First, we read the testimony of Gabriel, the archangel. Then there were other angels who testified to the shepherds out in the fields near Bethlehem. We read about the testimony of a priest, Zechariah. We read about some prophets, including John the Baptist, who testified who Jesus is. We've read about the testimony of some common people, shepherds, folks just in the temple, who when they saw the baby in Mary's hand said, "That's the Messiah." And today we will read how God himself testified that Jesus is his son. That is an amen. If you were laying out witnesses for a court trial, you would organize them in such a way that the clincher, the best one, was at just the right moment. Might not be first, might not be last, but it would be at just the right moment to make the impact you wanted. That's what this one is today. This is the big one that clinches, that verifies all the others. All four Gospels have some version of God's statement by voice and a physical manifestation of his Spirit at the baptism of Jesus. Now, last week we talked about John the Baptist out there in the wilderness at the Jordan River preaching and baptizing, and that's where we are. That's what's going on when this happened. And Luke gives us all of two verses to describe or not describe the baptism of Jesus. Luke 3:21. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." There you go. That's Luke's description. When all the other people were being baptized by John out at the Jordan River, Jesus also got baptized. Almost an honorable mention. He gave us no details about the baptism. He doesn't tell us why Jesus was baptized or that if he needed it, what's going on. But you tie all the context of Luke together and compare him with the other Gospels. Luke is focusing on this word from heaven and the manifestation of the Spirit to tell us who Jesus is. And Luke lines, it's in his line of witnesses testifying that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the one sent to save us. Now, Mark's gospel does not give us much more detail or reason for the baptism. Mark reported that when Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Matthew's gospel records a conversation between John and Jesus. And of course, Jesus came to be baptized by John, but John protested. He said, "I should be baptized by you." But Jesus said, "John, this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. It does not say that John understood. It said John obeyed the Lord. He did what Jesus said to do. And then, of course, Matthew also reports the Spirit coming physically and a voice from heaven declaring that this is his Son. Now, John's gospel takes it a little bit differently. And I want to read a little bit there in John 1. Because we're going to come back to this a little bit during the message. This is John's report of the baptism, John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." Man, that's powerful. That's powerful. But back to Luke. Luke chose to accentuate the action of the Spirit and the word from heaven. Most importantly to Luke is this testimony from God to say that this is he. This is Jesus, my son. He did not say he was a son of God. He said he's my son, the son, the one sent by the Father for salvation. Now, since we're here, I do want to mention the reason for baptism. I think it's a question that comes. It's important to us, although I'm not going to solve all of it. We do know that Jesus was not baptized because he had sin. He had no sin. He did not need forgiveness. So his baptism was not for forgiveness of sin. The baptism itself was a declaration. It was an initiation of Jesus' public ministry. And this whole event is a hinge point in history. It's a hinge point in the life of Jesus where he is publicly stepping into the role of Messiah. And I think that part of the reason Jesus was baptized was to set a pattern for us to follow. He knew we needed to be baptized. And Jesus said, "This is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And my commentary on that is, righteousness comes through obedience to the Father. And here Jesus is demonstrating it, you see? And he's causing John to demonstrate obedience to the Father. And righteousness comes through obedience to the Father. So it's right that we follow suit. I read something else this week in a commentary that struck me so much I want to pass it along. And I'm literally going to go back and amend some of my teaching on baptism because of this. I like the way it comes out. It said that in baptism, Jesus was acting in solidarity with the people. He was connecting with people in at least three ways there. Jesus was affirming those people out at the Jordan for being baptized. He was affirming that they chose to be baptized. And he's showing them, I will too. Also, he's affirming John's work and his message, isn't he? John, you're the man God chose to be out here preaching and baptizing. I want you to baptize me. Proving that John was valid and on course. Thirdly, Jesus was affirming us today who join him in baptism. I hope you feel that. I literally hope you feel that. That Jesus was affirming us as we join him in baptism. Let it soak in. When we are baptized, we are joining with Jesus in the same action. It is good. It's good. It's not just a saying, we're one with Jesus. We're acting it out. We're living it. Now, let's move on to where Luke was headed. He was less concerned about the baptism itself and more concerned about Jesus' endowment with the Spirit and God's affirmation of his sonship. And let's just take a closer look of that part of the event. The opening up of heaven, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the voice of God serve to reveal a divine mystery. Israel, since there had been an Israel, had been hearing there is a Messiah coming. There is one coming. God is sending one. But it was a mystery until this day. You see, these events are opening up the mystery. The promised Messiah is here. First of all, heaven was opened. How often does that happen? I'm not talking about when it rains hard. We don't know much about that either, but I'm talking about how often does it really happen that the heavens open up and God speaks? It's not often, although there are other instances in the Bible. Heaven opened up that day to afford John and Jesus a vision of the Father's perspective. God's opening His place up to let Jesus and John look in and say, this is what I'm doing. That was a big event. By the way, who opened it up? The Father did. The Father opened heaven. Huge marker, huge significance. There is a change happening, and God the Father is attending to it personally. Now, we cannot see the Father. So what did he do? He sent his Spirit, his own Spirit, who descended in bodily, physical form. The Spirit manifested himself physically, and the only way the people then knew how to describe it was it was like a dove flying down and landing on Jesus. And he remained there. I think that's just like God laying on anointing hands on his Son to ordain the work that he sent him to do. This was God initiating the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And what was Jesus doing when that happened? Did you notice? The baptism part was over. Jesus was praying. Jesus was praying when this part happened. And the Father physically reached out in his Spirit and touched him to anoint him. You think of any other time that God acted that way, that we have recorded in Scripture? How about Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when God literally did the same thing to the church? You see, here in this baptism, he's anointing Jesus for the work, for the redemptive work that he has for him. And he says, you're exactly where I want you to be. You're doing good. And then in Acts 2, we see after Jesus' ascension and the church is gathered and the tongues of fire reach out. That is the Holy Spirit literally reaching out and anointing the church to carry on the mission of Christ. These are powerful events. Powerful events. And then there's the voice of God. At least John and Jesus heard the voice. Don't know if all the other people heard it, but John and Jesus did, and maybe the others did. This is God's testimony about the identity and the mission of Jesus. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. I'm pleased at what all this is happening, that this is my plan. God's audible statement verified the testimony of Gabriel the angel and Zechariah and the prophets and the shepherds and Elizabeth and Mary. His words verifies all the others. And God had been preparing for Jesus this coming all along. The phrases used here that we see as the Word of God are representative of other phrases throughout the Scripture. In fact, God's reusing His own words here. And it takes us all the way back to Genesis and forward through the Psalms and through the prophets and then also looks forward. But let me just give you a few instances here. Some of them are that you'll find in most of the writing like this. You may have these footnotes or references in your Bible. First one is Psalm 2, verse 7. The second chapter of Psalm, or the second Psalm, verse 7 says, "I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.'" Now the church has long held that is a reference in the psalm to the coming Messiah. And the church has long connected that announcement with the announcement at the baptism it's the same thing stretched out over time. Do you remember what God said to Abraham as he told him to take his son up a mountain for a sacrifice? It's in Genesis chapter 22. God called on Abraham by name. Abraham said, "Here I am." And God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love." And then he gave him other instruction, you see. And don't we hear the same words? "Here's my son, whom I love." By the way, you might want to go back and read Genesis 22 soon, just to see all of the similarities between that event and Jesus' life. God laying out a trail to lead his nation to the Messiah. Now, another common reference here is in the book of Isaiah. In the latter part of Isaiah, there are some incredibly accurate predictions about the Messiah. They happened hundreds of years before these events that we've just been reading about, but very accurate, powerful. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 42, if you will. And I do want to do a little bit of reading there because it is so good. God's statement at the baptism just goes right back to some of the words here in Isaiah 42. We're going to start in verse 1. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I'm well pleased. I will put my spirit on him. And he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching the islands will put their hope." This is what God the Lord says, the creator of heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for my people and a light for the Gentiles. To open the eyes that are blind, free captives from prison, release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness." Verse 8, "I am the Lord. That is my name." We ought to read it, "I am Yahweh. I am who I am. That is my name." I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Isn't that fascinating? God gave that word to Isaiah, and we read about it happening in all four Gospels. Now, while we're in Isaiah, just go over to chapter 49, verse 6. This one's just fun. Isaiah 49:6, God says, "It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." That, wow. God's saying, he's not saying there's anything. I am saving Israel. I'm going to save a remnant of Israel. They're mine, and I'm going to save them. But it's too small a thing, son, for you to go and die just for them. I'm taking it to the nations. Your mission is to the nations, to bring light to the Gentiles. Hallelujah, Gentiles. We're included. Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary after she conceived by a blessing of the Holy Spirit, at his baptism was about 30 years old. It tells us in verse 23, back to Luke 3, verse 23, now Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. And here we have him announced as Messiah and being baptism. And after Jesus was baptized and he was praying and heaven opened, the Spirit of God visibly anointed him. I will put my Spirit on him. God's voice was heard audibly to say, "You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." By the way, just because I know it's got to be a question in somebody's mind, this was not the first day Jesus had the Holy Spirit. Okay? Jesus was never not he was never without the Holy Spirit. The three persons of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, are one God. This event, though, is a visible manifestation of the Spirit to bless Jesus and to speak to us that he is Messiah. And John the Baptizer got to be there and see it happen because he was obedient. John was a witness to this physical sort of reunion of the triune God happened right there in his midst. He participated in this solidarity of Jesus with the people. It was a big day. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all use the same words. The church has long accepted that this was God declaring, "Here he is. This is the one I've told you about so many times before. This is my Son whom I love, and this is exactly what I want." And then Luke lays out a complete lineage of Jesus to further illustrate. Just more evidence. Here's for the record, he says, the lineage of Jesus. And unlike Matthew, Luke goes all the way back to Adam. You can read in the rest of chapter 3 there. He goes all the way back to Adam. Links Jesus all the way back to Adam, but that's not all. There's one more step. The Son of God. That's the last line in the lineage. The Son of God. It's another testimony from Luke and his careful record that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. I wonder if you know him. Do you know him enough? Do you know Jesus enough to trust him with your gifts, with your resources, with your dreams? Will you release your will and seek his? Proverbs tells us that if we let his will shape ours, he will give us the desires of our heart. And therein lies life and light and joy and peace and love. Let me just close with a little summary this morning. We've been in a lot of places here. I hope it's you've grabbed enough to just go home and chew on it. Just remember, at least John and Jesus saw heaven open. They saw the Spirit descend in bodily form. And they heard God's voice. They were offered the experience of seeing God's perspective and hearing God's voice, which agrees with, verifies all the other voices we've mentioned since the beginning of December: Gabriel, Zechariah, the prophets, the priests, the shepherds, and the list goes on. Church, we have the opportunity to join with those voices. Do you get it? We're invited to join with those voices, to testify, Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. Would you like to know him? Let's pray. Music 2.